I'm going to need some help this morning. Would you all say amen?
Amen.
Okay, now I need to hear that several times during the preaching. It'll help me, and then it'll actually help you. It'll encourage me, and say something nice anyway during the preaching. Yeah. Good preaching, big guy, you know, something like that. Amen?
Amen.
I really believe this is of God, and I think we'll leave better because of it. I'd like to leave the screen down and have the scripture on the screen. I love to trap shoot, and you can get videos on trap shooting, and you could just watch those all the time, you know, and just never go out there and trap shoot. And there's no fulfillment in that. And the hesitation I have is putting the scripture up on the screen, somebody won't practice their trap shooting, you know? They won't open their scripture. And if you don't open your scripture in church, maybe you won't do any trap shooting at home. I get the two confused sometimes. But you know what I'm saying? It's good to have one of these things in your hand.
Amen.
I remember a terrible, terrible accident on Highway C and H. My son was in a car, his cousin was driving, and they hit a telephone pole, and the telephone pole almost split the car in half. And I raced there, got a phone call, and the officer said, this is bad. But then he handed me my son's Bible that was in the car, and he said, I wonder if this didn't save him. You know? I'm telling you, this thing did save you.
Amen.
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 So would you turn with me to Psalms 104? And verse number 4, it says, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire. So it's saying God makes his angels flaming fire in order to minister to us. And I want to change your perspective about ministering spirits this morning, or in other words, angels that are in this place lined up around the walls. We don't have the spiritual eyes, but there is no question that there are ministering spirits in this place this morning. Years ago, we had a message that came in tongues and interpretation, and it said this: my angels were created to worship me, but when you worship me, then they are able to minister to your needs in the congregation. I remember, I don't know, maybe it was 10 years ago, 12 years ago, I also spoke on angels, and Brother Grueling was with us, and he put on angels' wings, and he stood behind me, and no matter where I went, he was there, as if I didn't see him, but he was there. This morning, church,
Amen.
The same is true.
Amen.
You may not see, and yet there are people in this congregation who see angels on a regular basis. I'd also like you to turn to Daniel, the 3rd chapter, and verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and the princes, governors, captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was and hair of their heads singed. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servant that trust in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made dunghills, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Amen. Hallelujah. Powerful. Powerful. Thrown into a fiery furnace, didn't even singe a hair. Amen. Not even the smell of smoke on them because of an angel. Lord, we ask your blessing, your touch, your anointing upon your word. And God will give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Would you also turn to Hebrews, the first chapter? And I could explain this chapter, I could paraphrase this chapter, but there's nothing like reading the Word of God. And so in verse number 1, it says, God who at sundry or many times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by prophets hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son or flesh, whom he had appointed heirs of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, Jesus, who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sin, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels. And as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all of the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shall thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thee enemies, thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits? Send forth the minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. So God created the angels to worship him day and night, but also they are ministering spirits who will minister for those who shall be the heir of salvation. In other words, for each and every one of us, we have an angel that ministers, overlooks, overshadows each and every one of us. Amen. Now, this is the time of the year when all of the angels come out, you know. Amen. You will find them hanging around trees and mantles. You will see them in the malls and stores everywhere. People have no concept of what an angel really is, but they make good decorations for the rest of the world. This week we put up our Christmas tree. I think it was Thursday. Dragged it in the house, put it in the stand. My only job is to drag it in the house, put it in the stand, and then get on top of the ladder to put the angel on the very top, and then the rest of it isn't my responsibility anymore. And it looks good. But people believe that angels make good decorations. Perhaps they think that they are mystical beings like elves and pixies and that type. Well, they're anything but. Angels are the most powerful thing on the face of the earth beyond what God is. According to the Bibles, they are ministering spirits unto us. When the first images of angels were drawn and sculptured, it was during the Renaissance period when men dressed more like women and looked more like effeminate things than they really were. And today, most pictures or decorations of angels look like women. Yet angels have no gender according to the Bible, and they are not frail, fragile, or unassuming. They are powerful. They are directed by our God to be ministering spirits for protection and deliverance and supply as directed by God. And as we pray here, like yesterday morning, there are ministering spirits or angels that are directed by God and sent out in order to minister things that we have no control over. And each of us are assigned one of these angels. And each of us, see, here's the place where you guys have missed it. You forgot the amens already. And each of us are assigned a personal angel in order to look over us and protect us and be with us and supply needs to us, each of us. You know, the thing is, we don't have church for 3 days and we have to retrain everybody to... Psalms 34. Psalm 34 and 7 says, "And the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear or worship him and delivereth them." So the angel of the Lord encampeth, surrounds us, if you will. And then if you'll turn to Psalms 91. Psalms 91 and 1 says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eye shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands," these are angels, "lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample underfoot, because he hath set his love upon me," just like in Hebrews chapter 1, "I will set him on high because he hath known my name." Amen. You love him, amen, and you know his name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. What? With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Amen.
Hallelujah. A few benefits of loving God and knowing God's name. Most of this world, even Christian world, doesn't even really know the name of God or the power. Verse 14, because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. And then verse 11, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. What an awesome scripture. We really need to underline it, memorize it, and recognize the power there is in this scripture, because it's probably one of the most powerful scriptures in all of the Bible. Ministering spirits for them who shall be heirs of salvation, for those who know the name, and that's us folks. Need to identify who we really are. Now, Satan doesn't quote much scripture, you know. Doesn't read the letters. They're not addressed to him in the first place.
Amen.
He hates the word of God because it delivers us from any kind of temptation and power that he has. But we find that Satan quotes this scripture. This scripture in Psalms 91 and 11, he shall give his angels charge over thee. He said it to Jesus when they were doing battle in the wilderness after 40 days of fasting. In Matthew 4 and 6, Satan said, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. And then he quotes Psalms 91 and 11, he shall give his angels charge over me. Now, I believe this was a thorn in his side, that there are angels that have charge over the very protection of the church. He would devastate the church if it weren't for ministering spirits that protect us and hover over us. It must be a sore spot that God has put his angels in charge to keep us. Satan hates scripture, and here he quotes that which is hateful to him or an irritation. Therefore, I love this scripture. Anything the devil hates, I love. Hallelujah. God tells us that not only will he put his angels in charge over us, but he would deliver us and be with us in trouble, answer us, honor us, show us salvation, and give long life. Notice he didn't deliver us from all of our troubles, but he said he'd be with us and eventually, you know, deliver us. He'd put us under his shadow. He'd put us under his wings. He'll protect us. He will be with us. Is this resonating with anybody here? And the reason God gives for all of this attention, all of this honor and protection, is because we have set our love upon him, and because he is known of us. We know the name of our God. He doesn't do this for everyone else. Yes, there are many, many angels, but they're not all ministering to people, because there are two prerequisites: that we have loved our God and know who our God is. So if we worship God and know the name of God, we therefore get the benefits, all of the benefits of God's angels. But there is that formula here that we have to consistently go with. You can't worship God and not know his name.
Amen.
And you can't just know his name and not worship.
Amen.
We know the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We know that God, Jesus, created all of the earth and all of the heaven. It was God who robed himself in flesh and became that sacrifice for us. And therefore, one of the bennies is that we have ministering spirits that are hovering over us, around us, all of the time. We're never alone. Of course, God is there, but he is also given ministering spirits. Psalms 34 and 7 says, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. And that word fear in the Hebrew means to reverent or to worship. And I know I go overboard on we need to worship God, we need to worship God. But you see, here's a benefit that we don't receive if we're not worshiping God. We have a tendency to withdraw ourselves from church and worship and God when things go wrong. And that is the very point at which we need to worship more than we ever have before, because we have ministering spirits that will minister to our weakness. It's real simple. Worship God, get protection. Amen. Worship God, get deliverance. Amen. Worship God, keep salvation. And generally, there are people who close down when there's trouble in their life. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den because he would not stop praying or worshiping three times a day. I don't care what the decree of this world says, I'm not going to. I don't care what the family says, I don't care what my friends say, I'm going to continue to demonstrate how much I love God and demonstrate that I know who God really is. Worship will protect us, and sometimes we aren't protected because we haven't worshiped God through everything in our whole life, you see. So, if you'll turn to Daniel, the 6th chapter. And verse number 19. So, because of the decree, Daniel is thrown into the lion's den. And, things don't look good. The king was worried. I'm sure everybody else who was close to Daniel were very concerned. That's it. We're going to get a new prophet in town. Verse 19, the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? So he recognized that his God was a living God and that Daniel continued to serve him all of the time. Amen. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him in innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. So the two prerequisites of the angels coming to shut the lion's mouth was, number one, I'm innocent, and number two, I've done no hurt to anybody. Then was the king exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions had mastery of them and break all of their bones in pieces, and ever they came at the bottom of the den. So, if you look at this and you'll compare it to Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, they came out of the fire, a dangerous place, and what happened? All of those who threw them into the fiery furnace, all those who threw them into the lion's den, well, not a good day. Amen. Now, I know that we don't have much problems with lions here, especially since they put a new gate at the Racine Zoo. But there are a few mouths that I'd like to shut.
Amen.
Amen. God, shut their Facebook down right now. Wow, any amens on that? No amens, huh? But it's not by power nor by might, but by my ministering spirits. Instead of reacting in the flesh, Daniel worshiped God and was found safe in innocency. He shall give his angels charge over thee. Amen. Take a look at Luke 22. And verse 41. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed. Here we're talking about the hours before Jesus was betrayed and his trial and before his crucifixion. And he went to Gethsemane. And I mentioned Wednesday night there were three times where the blood of Christ was applied to us. Of course, there was Calvary for salvation. There was the beating that he took of 40 stripes that we might be healed. But then there's also the blood of Gethsemane. He sweat droplets of blood, and that was to be applied to our mind or our psyche, that we're not afraid of things any longer because we're covered by the blood of Jesus. So there's a purpose to everything that happens within Scripture. And verse 41 says, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. So it's the flesh pleading to the spirit. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, what? Strengthening him. An angel came to minister to God's flesh, if you will. We are God's flesh, if you will. When we get to that place where, we're up against the wall, it doesn't seem like there's any hope. God's not seeming to answer us the way we want him to answer us. Then God can dispatch an angel in order to minister strength to each and every one of us. Hallelujah. Amen. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Matthew 4 and 11, it says, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. And that was after his 40 days of fasting, the challenge that he had in the wilderness. And then came angels ministering unto him. Angels ministering unto the flesh of our God to strengthen Jesus in a time of trouble and agony. Now, if Jesus himself needed angels to come and minister strength, then how much more do we need ministering spirits coming to minister to us and strengthen us? So what about you? The most valuable possession of God, God's body here on earth. Does he have guards over those that he loves? I believe he does. You know, isn't it amazing? All of these famous people, whether they're athletes or movie stars, they always have an entourage of protection of bodyguards. If you saw any of the excerpts of the presidential race, all of the candidates had some big brutes standing over them, you know, because of how important they were and how some people would like to get to them. Well, God doesn't hire bodyguards, but he's got angels. Amen. I'm thinking, you know, my angel someday, I really do believe that I'll be able to meet the ministering spirit that has been assigned to James Schumacher. I really do. And I'm hoping this guy is about 10 foot, 11 foot high, you know, with a personality that has some humor to it, but really has decided he's going to be on my side. When God puts his protection over us, they are equipped to do the job, folks. handle anything.
Right.
Anyone.
Amen.
Lions, snakes, big mouths, heart problems, cancers. I mean, if God's going to give them authority, why not give them authority to do everything? Not, oh, we got to call in another angel. No, no. I believe the angels have authority. Hallelujah. Because they come with authority of God to those who will worship God and who know his name. Now, almost everybody, if not everybody in here, knows that Jesus is God and there is none other. But the question is, are you worshiping God? I'm not just talking about the 32 minutes that we have in song service here on Sunday morning and those of you who are faithful on other days. You know, but what about Mondays and Tuesday? What about when you do run up against something difficult, a lion, somebody whose mouth is open and you'd like to shut it? Hallelujah. I want to change your thinking about angels this morning. You know, I hear ladies in the church all the time looking at these brand new babies, and we saw Sister Kyla's baby yesterday in the hospital, and they say, oh, he is such a little angel, you know. And it's nice. They're cute. But you know what? When I'm in trouble, I don't want a cute little angel coming to my rescue. I want a big burly angel coming, you know. I don't want some little tyke going, oh, I can help you. No, no, no. I can help you. Hallelujah. Don't mess with me. Because when you mess with me, you mess with the one who's been assigned to me. And he's, you know, I don't know what his temper's like. I really don't. But I know he's there for my benefit. Amen. And so don't ever think when somebody's throwing rocks at you, when somebody's, you know, that there isn't somebody backing you up all the way. Now, the first time we meet angels in the scripture, they are guarding the gates of paradise when Adam and Eve are thrown out of the garden. And so we have angels there guarding the gate to paradise and the tree of life. And the last chapter of the Bible, angels are taking John on a tour of a heavenly paradise or heaven, and they are also guarding a tree, the tree of life. So we find that angels are guarding the existence or the tree of life, that which gives life to the church. And after the tour is completed, the angel says to the apostle John, worship God.
Amen.
If there was any angel who could stand up in this pulpit, their main agenda would be to worship God.
Amen.
Worship God.
Amen.
Because as you worship God, I am released in order to minister to you.
Amen.
See, hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, and if you get this down in our psyche, understanding when I'm having trouble, I need that ministering spirit. Well, it's not like, hey, angel. No, no. Jesus, I love you. And then Jesus is the one who dispatches the angels for us. You might wonder, you know, all of these people, are there enough angels to go around? Now, there were one-third of the angels that were cast out of heaven, you know, and they got new jobs. But their retirement plan is not good at all. And all because, and I talked to my wife about this yesterday, all because somebody wanted the spotlight.
Right.
I want to be lifted up.
Amen.
I think one of the most insidious things that can happen in the church is when somebody aspires to a position so they get some kind of glory.
Right.
Because it got so angry that he cast out one third of the angels. But there's two thirds left.
Right.
So would you turn to Revelation 5, verse number 11. It says, and I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. So don't worry that there isn't enough angels to go around, you know. Well, the earth is getting more and more populated, the church is growing. Don't worry about it. There are some angels perhaps waiting for their turn when the new saint is born again of water and spirit. Number 1,944, we got a new assignment for you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I think angels have been worshiping from the time they opened their eyes and saw God, and God had to individually make angels because they don't produce after their own kind. And they always see the face of God. So would you turn to Matthew 18 and verse number 10. Matthew 18 and 10, it says, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven there, T-H-E-I-R, belonging to their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. So Jesus is saying, listen, be careful.
Right.
Be careful. You know, this is the saint of the Most High, because their angel, their angel, belonging exclusively to them, if you will. Angels live in the presence of God and stay focused on God all of the time. This is where they get their majesty and awe and power. And I wonder what you and I would be like if we camped round about the throne of God and were stayed focused on his presence all of the time. The same power that are given to the angels because of that would be given to us. Rather than calling somebody for help, all we have to do is exercise the power that God has given each and every one of us. He's saying, which angel did he say?
Amen.
The angels desire to look into what we have going for us, according to 2 Corinthians 5 and 18, they're looking into what we have offered. There's going to be greater power, but we can exercise that power here on earth if we're stayed on Christ.
Amen.
It's not just a little review three times a week.
Amen. Amen.
Would you turn to Acts, the 4th chapter? Verse number 13. Let's start in verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Salvation comes in the name of Jesus. Not knowing the name, but being baptized in his name. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. I love this scripture. There's so many people who think that they need to have some kind of degree in theology or some kind of title. And here, Peter and John, really, they were unlearned. Here's a fisherman, you know, that were ignorant and unlearned, and they marveled that they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus.
Amen.
See, the more you spend time like angels focused on God, the greater power that each and every one of us have. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against him. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? What shall we do to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? What shall we do to Daniel? What shall we do to Sean Dixon? What shall we do to Roland Bear? What can we do to them? Because they have been spending time with Jesus. There isn't a thing that we can do because we've got angels lined up. There's a power of God. We can't explain why these people are healed. What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Oh, hallelujah. Doesn't matter what your education, your background. I don't care where you came from. I'm just concerned about where you're going. But each and every one of us, you can have that same power if we spend the time like Peter and John did with Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Oh, and there is one more angel mentioned in the Bible. Revelation 2 and 1 says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. So there's seven churches in the book of Revelation, and each of them, it says, unto the angel of that church. And the word angel in the Greek is translated as pastor or messenger. Each church has been given an angel or a pastor for a similar purpose as the angelic beings that God has put over the church to watch over the saints, to protect the saints, to supply the spiritual needs to the saints. You see, everyone needs an angel or a pastor in their life in order to be that protection. And when people get out from underneath that authority, if now all of a sudden you question the authority, then the protection goes away and the watchman is not there for you and there isn't a supply of spiritual food that you need. Now, we wouldn't refuse the help of God's angelic angels. Why would we refuse the benefit of God's pastor? We're living in a society today that says, no one's going to tell me anything and I don't have to submit. I'll take it into consideration. And what you're doing is you're forfeiting the protection and the power and the supply that God wants to give us through that office of a pastor. Hebrews 13 and 17 says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Why? For they watch for your souls as they that must give an account that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Just as each and every one of us have authority at work and over us at work and authority over us as parents and there's all authority in this world, and Romans the 13th chapter lists all of that, and it says that is a protection for you. And let's all receive the benefits of the angels God has put us in charge over. Hebrews 1 and 14 says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Amen. God, see, he not only provided salvation for us, but he provided a fence, a protection, a supply, a train for each and every one of us that we could have the best life here on earth. But it has to be according to his dictates, his word, and then we're not like the rest of them. God said to the children of Israel, if you will obey me, none of these plagues that came on the rest of the world will come onto you. You're different than the rest of them.
Amen.
We're a peculiar people,
Amen.
A holy priesthood. And that's the way God wants to keep us.
Amen.
So Don't bow down to your angel.
Amen.
You know, we're not here to worship the angel. We're here to worship God.
Amen.
But the benefits of worshiping God. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please? Glory to God.
Amen.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High.
Yeah.
Amen. When's the last time you were in that secret place? My wife and I came in here Friday to put up the rest of our decorations. Thank Brother Graff for getting on a ladder and putting up our new banners. But in the middle of the day, there are people who are here praying as they just want to get a hold of God.
Amen.
I remember, I maybe was only in the church 2 or 3 years, and I think it was late on a Saturday night because I was putting together a message. And I was the only one in the church. And I remember walking back and forth in front of the altar, and suddenly I was so frightened because I knew there was something with me here. And how many times in the scripture when angels appeared to somebody, they fell down on their face and they were afraid. And God showed me that day many, many years ago as I was ministering to God and worshiping God. An angel showed up, maybe more than just one angel showed up. And I could feel that presence of that angelic being around me. I've said this so many times. There are times after a message I'll bury my face in a pew and I've felt a hand on my back thinking, I wonder who's praying for me after that awful message. And look around and there's nobody there, but I know I felt the hand of God upon me. Don't discount those things that you don't see this morning, because there's a whole new world that's around us that we aren't able to see.
Amen.
Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?